Hi, welcome to GoGoTraining.com. My name is Dave Cole, and in this show, we're going to discuss how you can get started using ITIL, IT Infrastructure Library. To learn more about me, my background, and what courses I offer, be sure to check out my profile at GoGoTraining.com. Okay, let's get started. IT Infrastructure Library, or ITIL, provides a framework for defining repeatable and verifiable IT processes. You may or may not know that you've probably been using ITIL for a long, long time, because ITIL really is about processes. Anytime you put together a process to do something in your data center, you've been implementing at least the framework of ITIL, right? At least the thought of what was behind ITIL. ITIL really isn't a rule book, a detailed instruction manual for how to run a data center. It really is a set of best practices for IT service management. And IT service management means we want to treat the data center as a service, not a bunch of boxes in a room. They're really a service that we're providing to our customers, whether they're our internal customers or our external customers. We're providing services, and it really is a different mindset. So we want to treat the data center as a service, not a bunch of equipment. So ITIL isn't a detailed instruction manual. It does provide some really good guidance, however, on how to set up processes and procedures which can help us to run our data center more effectively. Unfortunately, when people look at the broad scope of ITIL, five big books covering five big areas of ITIL, service strategy, service design, service transition, service operation, and continual service improvement, they're often overwhelmed. There's just too much to take in. We don't know how to begin. So how do we get started? First, it's important to look at some of the high-performing IT organizations to see what we can learn from them. One thing, these organizations share some common cultures. One of the most important is they have a culture of change management. The only acceptable number of unauthorized changes is zero. We know that changes cause us issues in the data center. Even things that we think aren't going to cause us problems often do. Think about it. All I'm going to do is just move this network cable from this port to that port. What harm could possibly come of that? I'm just going to install a service pack. All of my applications ought to continue to run, right? So the only acceptable number of unauthorized changes is zero. It's important that as an organization, we understand that change impacts us. So we have to manage change. These high-performing IT organizations also share a culture of causality. They understand what change does to us. 80% of outages are due to changes, due to something that we did. We might not be trying to harm anything, but often we do. And 80% of our mean time to repair is trying to find out what changed. So when we look at downtime on a server, for example, or another piece of equipment, we first have to recognize there's a problem. Then we have to find out what changed, and then we can solve the problem. So 80% of this downtime is spent trying to find out what changed. Again, we have to have a good handle on change in the data center if we're going to more effectively manage. Second, these organizations share some common characteristics. They have high service levels and availability as measured by mean time between failures and mean time to repair. So let's talk about that for a minute. What is availability in our data center? It's measured by two key factors: mean time between failures, so how many times do we break, and the mean time to repair. When we do break, how long does it take us to get back up and running again? These are the two key components of availability. So if a high-performing organization has a high mean time between failures and a low mean time to repair, they're going to have much higher availability and be seen as a much more credible organization. These organizations also have a high throughput of effective changes, greater than 99%. This means that more than 99% of the time, when they implement a change in their data center, it was a good change. It worked as planned. Well, how do you get to that level of achievement? How can you be that good at effective changes? Well, what we find is these organizations have a higher investment early in the IT lifecycle. In other words, rather than put a change in and say, did it work? Let's investigate the change before we make it. let's think about anything that could possibly go wrong. If we think something could possibly go wrong, what is our backout plan for that change? Right? Let's get all of the stakeholders involved and see if anybody has any issues with us making that change. If we really think out our changes before we implement them, we have a much higher confidence in that change, and we're going to have a much higher throughput of effective changes. Third, these high-performing IT organizations share some common processes. They share release processes, planning, designing, building, configuring hardware and software. They have processes in place to do this. Again, ITIL is all about processes. You have some of these processes in place right now. So even if you've never thought about implementing ITIL, you've implemented some of the concepts of ITIL already. They also have control processes that are fairly standard. They're maintaining production infrastructure to prevent service interruptions. They have change, asset, and configuration management. Notice that key word there, change. Change is important in the data center. It's really important that we have a good handle on change. We also have to know about all of the assets in our data center. We have to know what's out there. If I have a problem with an asset, I need to know what operating system is it running. What is it connected to? What applications run on it, if it's a server? If it's a UPS, what items, what assets in my data center depend on that UPS for their power? So I need to be able to keep control of my change, my assets, and my configurations. I need to manage those. They also have common resolution processes. They turn every problem into a known error that can be more effectively resolved the next time it happens. So what exactly does that mean? Let's pick on printers for a minute. Printers are always jamming, right? Ideally, if we have a problem, the best thing that could happen is we fix the problem so it's never going to happen again. That's the ideal situation. Sometimes we can't do that, however. So let's take our printer. Ideally, we'd like it never to jam again. We'd like to buy a jamless printer. Probably we'll never have one of those. But when the printer jams, how do I fix it? Maybe if someone calls into the trouble desk and they say the printer is jammed again, and if the help desk could tell them, okay, turn it off, turn it back on, hit it two times on the side with your fist, and that will unjam it. Isn't that a better solution to, well, I don't know, just try this or try that? We've taken a problem, we've turned it into a known error, so at least we have a workaround for that problem. That's going to allow us to get that printer up and running more quickly, or that server, or that process, right? So rather than concentrate on the five major areas of ITIL and get all bogged down in the details, let's take a more practical approach. Let's look at how we can emulate these high-performing IT organizations. One book that I highly recommend is a book called The Visible Ops Handbook, Implementing ITIL in 4 Practical and Auditable Steps. It's by Kevin Baer, Gene Kim, and George Spafford. It's not a long book, maybe only 100 pages, but there's so much practical information jammed into this little yellow book that it'll be well worth your purchase. This book takes a very practical look at implementing ITIL. It concentrates on 4 steps for you to take. First, we want to reduce the amount of unplanned work we're doing. Well, who doesn't want to do that? Who wouldn't like to have some hours freed up in their week to do more productive things than just fixing problems? Second, the book talks about how do we create and maintain an asset inventory. So we're starting to get control of our configuration management, our asset management, and in turn, we're also starting to manage our change. Third, the book talks about how to create a repeatable build library. So I can build new software and new releases, put them into production with a high confidence that they're going to work once they get out there. And finally, the book spends quite a bit of time on implementing continual improvement. And that's an important part of any organization. We want to continue to improve. To do that, we have to gather some metrics. And the book talks about what metrics should we be gathering in order to get better. So rather than focus again on getting bogged down in too much of the details, there's a lot of ITIL we may have already implemented through our processes. This book is going to take a good practical approach and really help you to cement these ITIL processes. If we take these practical steps, we'll be well on our way to implementing ITIL. More importantly, we'll be on our way to better management in our data center. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, go to my course, Data Center Infrastructure Management, on gogotraining.com to see the full course outline. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you again on gogotraining.com.